Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. All persons having business before the Honorable, the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this Honorable Court. Be seated, please. Case number 06-1426, Alcoa Inc. Petitioner versus Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Mr. Poe for the petitioner, Mr. Soper for the respondent.
Good morning, Counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, David Poe, on behalf of Petitioner Alcoa Inc., and I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. This is a case involving cost allocation in the context of Section 215 of the Federal Power Act, which was added to the Federal Power Act by the Energy Policy Act of 2005. There are essentially two major issues. First is the reasonableness of the Commission's determination regarding the allocation of costs of the Electric Reliability Organization. And the second is whether Alcoa is entitled to have this issue considered by the court, or whether it is foreclosed from that consideration by virtue of prior actions of the Commission. I will address these issues in turn. Our first point is that the Commission's decision is unreasonable. The Commission never looked at the nature of the costs that were being incurred. It never looked at the question of whether the costs that were being incurred and the manner in which they would be allocated would, in fact, whether that would be appropriate given the allocation method that it had under consideration. The net energy for load allocation method.
The Commission says they identified that in paragraph 94 of the denial of rehearing. What's inadequate with that?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. What is the question?
The Commission says that in paragraph 94 they addressed that very issue. I'm looking at.
You're saying they didn't address the issue. Judge Griffith is saying they say they did in paragraph 94.
Well, the only thing, I don't know whether it's paragraph 94 or not, but the only statement that they made with respect to the allocation method was that the proposal that had been made by Alcoa, that the Commission used its traditional method of allocation, was not. Sufficiently detailed for the Commission to give consideration.
More than that, they said your proposal also didn't take into account the continental-wide nature of the ERO.
Well, but Your Honor, as we pointed out in our brief, all the other costs associated with electric service are allocated on the basis of this fixed variable, or in the case of the electric industry, the demand and energy allocation method. This has been a matter of Commission policy for more than 60 years. By contrast, we could not find any case in which the Commission considered the merits of NEL, which is only by its nature an energy allocation methodology, or did they make an examination of the costs that would be flowing from this electric reliability organization that were to be allocated. And as we pointed out in our brief,
problems with double counting is something that's apparently taken care of with the NEL. I mean, it's not as if they said nothing.
Right.
You just don't think they said enough. But the standard here is this is rate making, highly deferential. How much do they have to say?
Well, Your Honor, our point is, I mean, there are several points, but one of the points is they already have a method of allocating costs that's used for every other aspect of electric service. Until we had Section 215 of the Federal Power Act, there was no such thing as an electric reliability organization.
Right.
There was,
so one would well expect that things might be a little different after you have something you never had before, right?
Well, and Your Honor, we would think that they would have an inquiry into that, and they would look at the question of what's different about this particular electric reliability organization.
What was this proceeding for which you're petitioning us to review?
Our petition for review.
What was the proceeding?
To certify an electric reliability organization.
Right.
And in that proceeding, they were going to consider, because one of the elements in the statute is they had to see whether or not there were rules which would allocate equitably the costs associated with this organization. Part of that inquiry should have been, What kind of costs are there? Are these fixed costs, or are these costs which vary with the amount of energy that's being used by any particular organization? And the point about the feasibility, Judge Griffith, is that it's feasible in the case of every other aspect of electric service to use demand and energy allocation methods. There are demand meters. There are energy meters. Every major load-serving entity, LSE, has that information in the system because that is the pervasive way in which cost allocation occurs in the establishment of electric rates by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And that's not the inquiry that they made here. They deviated from their prior precedent. They gave no explanation as to why.
They can do that. They can deviate from prior precedent.
Yes, Your Honor. But I believe the precedents of this court say that when they do that, they have to give a reasoned explanation as to why.
That brings us back to where we started, that you're saying, Judge Griffin suggested, you're saying they didn't address the issues. But when we asked you, didn't they address this issue in paragraph 94, you don't give us a very good response. You don't know.
Well, Your Honor, I guess part of what I'm trying to say is that this more than 60-year history, and this may deal with the intricacies of FERC regulation and how they've been doing it for the last 60 years, but to have said, why don't you use the way you've done it before, we thought that that was a pretty full proposal. We pointed out that the metering was in place.
NERC had been using an NEL before, though, right?
Yes, Your Honor. But NERC, up to that point in time...
I should know this, but how long had NERC been using an NEL at the time?
Your Honor, I don't know that specifically, but I believe it had been for a number of years. NERC itself came out, I think, about 1964, after 1964. And sometime after that, I think they began to use the NEL methodology. But it was only a voluntary organization at that point. These costs were not being imposed through any legal mechanism, and the extent to which that they were being passed on to end users, which is the fundamental question of Section 215, that question had never been addressed by the Commission. And again, we could not find any case in which the Commission looked at the question of whether or not NEL was appropriate for passing on particular kinds of costs. And again, part of the problem with NEL is that it's only an energy allocator factor. And what it does is it operates to discriminate against people who are high load factor customers, customers who use energy much more efficiently, like my client, which is almost a 100% load factor customer. And we showed in our brief how that particular discrimination operates. And we put an example in there as to how that...
Are you saying FERC's wrong when they say that double counting is a problem that's posed by your suggested method of cost allocation that's answered in NEL but it's not answered in yours? Are they just wrong on that?
To distinguish between, I don't believe the Commission itself addressed the question. I think that anything that is in the brief on behalf of the Commission represents, more than anything else, the post hoc rationalization of counsel. I don't think that anyone has made any statement other than, the Commission's statement was you didn't show that it wasn't double counting.
I see. I thought the Commission raised that as a problem, that the double counting is a problem that the NEL addresses, but Alcoa's proposal
I think what they said
wrong.
Was, we didn't understand your proposal, and so you didn't address the double counting issue. And I guess the point that I would make is, well, if double counting is a problem, then you have 99% of the other costs which are being allocated through this methodology, and it wasn't a problem there either.
Well, it may or may not be. The fact that double counting might be a problem in one circumstance does not necessarily mean it is in another. I mean, as you recognized at the beginning, we're dealing with a new kind of entity here that we've never had before. And it may be that there are double counting problems that occur here that don't occur other places. Just to say what you've used at other places doesn't mean that you should use it in this circumstance, does it?
Your Honor, I accept that as a theoretical possibility, but I don't believe that in cost allocation that is a practical issue.
I don't understand your belief to be the standard of review for.
Oh, no, I understand, Your Honor.
You have to do a better job of explaining to us what's wrong with what FERC did.
Well, Your Honor, again, the only thing that I can say is that they didn't look at these other issues. And
well, you say that, but then when we ask you, didn't they mention one of them in paragraph 94? It looks like they did. They do mention these other issues, don't they?
But, Your Honor, they simply said that we had not shown that it didn't provide double counting. I don't think they said that they thought that it did. They were simply trying, and this, by the way, is in the denial of rehearing. This is not at the time, this wasn't, you know, in the order itself. This is denial of rehearing. Yeah. That's the first time that they raised that as an issue. Had they said that at the outset in the order.
They say, let me, if you don't mind, I'm just going to read a sentence or two from paragraph 94. And you're right. They criticize your proposal, but I think they do more than that. I'm reading, this is from the Joint Appendix 347. While Alcoa contends that a demand allocation method would be consistent with the Commission's rate-making methodologies, it offers no real specifics and fails to demonstrate how the coincident peak demand allocation factors that the Commission uses to allocate demand-related costs for rate-making purposes would be appropriate or could be easily developed on a continent-wide basis for NERC funding purposes. Now, that may not be the most fulsome explanation, but it is an explanation.
Your Honor, with respect to the first part of that, yeah, the allocation, the demand factors, we pointed out in the comments that we made to the Commission that, in fact, what we had done was that the demand factors, the demand readings were there. The metering was there. In point of fact, the Commission uses many different ways and sometimes to calculate demand factors, but and it uses different coincident peak methodologies. But the basic issue of using the coincident peak allocation method, we addressed that in our comments, and I don't understand why they said what they said there, because it was there, and it was there in at least as much detail as the NERC proposal that the Commission accepted. And with respect to the continent-wide issue, that's the first time that the Commission had even raised that as an issue. And it was not addressed with respect to the earlier statements regarding the appropriateness of NEL.
Okay. Could you address the jurisdictional issue? I'm sorry.
Yes, Your Honor. Very brief. I know that I'm into my time here.
That's all right. As long as Judge Santel often points out, as long as we're talking, you can talk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Our point is that Order Number 672, the order that the Commission says that precludes our challenge here, specifically said that it was not reaching the issue of the appropriate allocation method. It used words saying, well, yeah, we think that this method, NEL, is reasonable, but we're not going to decide that issue here. In Order 672A, they said, we have no cost allocation method before us. And for that reason, anything that they said about whether it was reasonable or unreasonable is dicta, because they weren't deciding the issue. And secondly, our second point with respect to that is that even if there was no issue as to whether they had decided it or not, that no one was aggrieved because they made no decision in that particular case regarding the merits of the proposal. So,
well, no, they said it's reasonable. I mean, they were putting folks on notice that any ERO, anyone who was applying for ERO, if they came forward with an NEL, that was going to be accepted, right?
Well, they put us on notice that they were going to consider other proposals as well.
No, but I mean, after 672, everyone knew that if someone came forward to be certified as the ERO and their cost allocation method was the NEL, that part of their application was going to sail through, right? I mean, you knew that.
Well, I'm not sure that we did know that. We knew that they were going to consider the arguments that people were going to place in front of them.
They said that it was reasonable and fair. What more do they need to say about NEL? NEL's reasonable and fair. Now, bring us something else if you have something else. But if you bring us NEL, we've already decided that.
Well, but Your Honor, but they had not decided in that case, and they had not applied it in any specific circumstance. That's the first thing.
I think it's your point that it was not right for you to have brought it to this court for review at that point.
Yes, Your Honor. That is correct. If the court has no more questions, then I'll save the balance of my arguments for rebuttal.
We'll give you back a couple of minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Hear from the commission.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court.
start with the jurisdiction.
I certainly will.
They had petitioned at that point, would you not have been here telling us it was unripe? Even if you got this far, wouldn't you have been at our motions window filing a motion?
Well, I think we wouldn't even have gotten to that point, because the key issue in whether somebody has notice and whether there's a collateral attack of a later order is you have to look at the order and see whether a reasonable, though this court has said, see whether a reasonable entity would have figured out that something was decided.
I thought the question was whether the petitioner was aggrieved.
Yeah.
Well,
isn't that the standard in the statute?
That's the standard in the statute.
Okay. So
the first thing,
if let's assume for a minute that that in the current proceeding, the commission had approved a methodology other than NEL, right?
Okay.
Okay, then the NEL determination in 672 never aggrieved anyone.
I think we're skipping a key.
Isn't that right?
I don't think so.
What's the matter with what I just said?
Well, first of all,
stick with my hypothetical.
On the statute.
Stick with my hypothetical. If in this case the commission had approved a methodology other than NEL, then the NEL determination in 672 would never have aggrieved anybody.
That's true.
Okay, so then your answer, I think, to Judge Santel's question would have been that had they challenged 672 at the time, the commission would have argued no one's yet aggrieved.
Yeah.
The answer I have to that is that when you look at the statute, yeah, it's a requirement that the party before the agency request rehearing, that is a condition precedent to come to this court.
Yeah.
If they had done so, they still couldn't have come to this court in that case.
Well, first of all, we don't know what the commission would have said. It depends on what the commission would have said in rehearing. They had an aggrieving order.
Even if you had ruled against them, if the commission had said, no, we're not allowing your petition for rehearing, you still would have been here properly, I think, resisting our taking the case because nobody was aggrieved. It wasn't ripe at that point.
It might not have been ripe, but it was the aggrieving order, and it might have been the review wouldn't have been possible.
I thought you just agreed with me that it wasn't aggrieving.
If
that no one was aggrieved at the time, because
we often have cases where the commission makes a determination at the beginning of, say, a rate making,
mm-hmm,
and then that's a final decision. Petitioner appeals, and we say, hey, you have to wait till the end of the rate making. Yeah. We don't know whether there's actually going to be any harm.
And we generally rule with you on that because you're right.
Right, but once you get to the end of the second proceeding, you can raise the issue that was originally before the court. And there was no reason that at the end of the second proceeding, if they had done the proper thing and if the commission's order at that time hadn't been final, they could raise it now. The key point is that there's no standing requirement for people before the commission.
No, but there is before us.
Right, but we don't know what would have happened.
There's also prudential ripeness, and there's the statutory aggrievement. It's hard for me to see how they could have brought this thing to us any quicker than what they did.
Well, we can only speculate because our belief is that Alcoa had an obligation, once there was a finding in the rule, to say, but this court has said, if a rule is... No, obviously so obscure you can't tell, no, then you don't have to do anything. But if a rule says something, even if it's ambiguous, the litigant has an obligation to tell the commission, mm-hmm, and ask for rehearing. And that's exactly what they did here. This could not be clearer. It says at the courtesy appendix at 102, first, it says the commenters largely agree that a funding apportionment method based on net energy is appropriate. And then it said, we find this funding method to be a fair and reasonable method that minimizes the possibility of double counting.
Yeah, but then it goes on to say.
It says
Hold on.
Then it goes on to say, however, the commission does not rule out other apportionment methods that can be found to be just and reasonable. And then it says, because of this, we're not going to even codify this standard. They didn't even put it in the CFR.
That's right.
They left it just in the preamble.
That's right. And my point is that if the Alcoa had done the proper thing here and requested rehearing and gotten a rehearing order.
So your point is.
Suppose that rehearing order also wasn't right.
Wait a minute, what?
Suppose the rehearing order wasn't right.
Wait, is your basic argument here that the reason you would not have argued that you would not have argued that it wasn't ripe then was because they had not filed a petition for rehearing before the commission?
Well, they have to file a petition for rehearing before the
commission. They know that, but is that why you're telling us that the commission would not have taken the position?
Again, what I'm saying is I don't know what position the commission would have taken because I don't know what the order would have said on rehearing. It might have said, you know, that we're not deciding this again, and this is final.
Well, you think it's possible that on rehearing they would have deleted all this language about, well, it's possible we might approve some different standard and that instead we're going to require NEL and we're going to codify it? Is that your theory?
It's certainly possible.
But wait, is that your theory as to why they're now too late? Because
no.
What they should have done then is gone to the commission on a petition for rehearing and said, we insist that the commission not leave open the possibility of a non-NEL approach. Is that your point?
No, my theory is we don't know what would have happened, and regardless of what would have happened, this was the time to ask for rehearing on that issue. It's possible that an appeal would have come at the same time.
They shouldn't have believed the commission when the commission said we might try some other methodology in the end.
If
they looked at the statute and the statute said you can only challenge an order if you're grieved, okay? And they look at 672 and they say, their counsel says, you know, we don't think you're grieved here because, yes, they're saying NEL would be okay, but they're leaving open the possibility for another methodology. So we don't think you're grieved. So why would they file a petition for rehearing if they didn't think they were aggrieved by 672?
This court has said, if there's a holding, you file a petition for rehearing. If it's ambiguous,
under this circumstance,
you're taking things we've said about cases that not only aren't parallel, they're not tangential.
Okay, well.
The question is, if they didn't think they were aggrieved, why would they file a petition?
I guess.
For rehearing before the commission.
I don't understand how they wouldn't think they were. Well, the commission doesn't throw, I'll try this.
How was anybody aggrieved when the commission said we're not even entering a final decision on what we're going to use?
I think rather than discuss this further, perhaps I should go to the merits.
Maybe you ought to go to the merits.
Unless the court wants to hear further.
I don't think there's much else you can do except apologize for raising the issue. But
Now, to be fair, this is not a case where counsel came up with some argument and presented to the court. The commission itself, in the orders on review, said, we decided this issue. It's a collateral attack. So I was obligated to bring it up, Your Honor.
We're not in any way suggesting that there's something wrong with you defending the commission's decision.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We're just curious about the commission's decision.
Well, I do think it makes sense because there.
Now, I don't think you want to continue.
But I'm not going
to. Let's go to the merits.
Obviously, nobody else goes to the merits.
So we won't go there. Yeah. I think on the merits.
We've been there.
On the merits, we have a very clear case. We have, first of all, I hesitate to bring up another jurisdictional matter, but in our view, this isn't really jurisdictional as much as procedural. Alcoa has really waived the merits issue because they never really discussed it per se in their opening brief. But if the court were to reach the merits issue, it is interesting in the rulemaking, a whole spectrum of agents of industry, of the electric industry, all commented on the net energy load method. No one mentioned there was some kind of violation.
Can I just take you back a second? You said that Alcoa didn't raise this in their opening brief? They didn't challenge?
They didn't raise the merits of, they said the commission did not address. It's the same thing that Mr. Poe said here.
What about section 3 of their brief?
Everything from about page 21 on.
Yeah. It looks to me like they say.
It says the commission.
They say that this is, that the commission's normal cost causation principles include both load and energy, and there's no explanation in the commission's. Now, they may be wrong. Yeah. They say there's no explanation in the commission's. Let me finish.
The departure from established methodology without adequate explanation is arbitrary and capricious.
Right.
So, I mean, they may be wrong.
It's the argument, isn't it?
We understood the argument they were making was that the commission didn't address the matter.
No. They say right in there, they say that the commission never explained why it departed from its normal methodology and adopted something that was based only on load.
That's not the way.
Not on load, sorry.
That's not the way we read it. We read it as they were saying the commission never addressed it, which was, in our view, patently not true.
That's equal to you saying they didn't address it.
The title of it is that they're challenging the FERC's departure from established commission methodology without explanation.
That's
because it departs from cost causation principles by allocating the entire cost based on load. That's their argument in Section 3.
Well, perhaps we parsed it too finely, but we saw it as rather than arguing about the actual substance.
Well, why don't you assume now that they made the argument and tell us the answer?
Okay, well, I do think on the merits we have a very strong case because the.
That's stronger than your other two.
Much stronger than my other two, apparently. Okay. Mm-hmm. As Judge Griffith pointed out, and Judge Santel, this is a new statute. The statute specifically says.
Why don't you tell us what the commission reasoned? Okay, because that's what we're reviewing. We're not reviewing Judge Sintel's conclusions or Judge Griffith's conclusions.
But the commission
show us where the commission explained its departure from its normal methodology.
Paragraph 94.
94.
JA 347.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. It specifically says there. While Alcoa contends that a demand allocation method would be consistent with the commission's rate making methodologies.
Right.
It offers no real specifics.
Okay, it offers no real specifics. Well, they have a full methodology they've offered, right? They have a full proposal.
We have to look at this in context of the entire rulemaking and of the statute. Yeah. The commission has discussed the net energy for load method in some detail in the rulemaking. It believes, actually, that it shouldn't even be further discussing it here, but nonetheless, answers the claim on the merits. But you have to look at the paragraph on the merits in terms of the rule that found that the net energy for load method is fair and reasonable.
Can I take you back from it? If their argument is that the commission didn't explain its departure from its normal cost causation methods, what difference does it make that Alcoa's proposal wasn't sufficiently specific? Their argument is that the commission failed to explain a departure from its system. It's not responsive to say, well, but Alcoa didn't give us. In fact, Alcoa shouldn't even have had to give any proposal if its only argument was that the commission has failed to explain its departure from normal procedures.
Well, first of all, the commission's not locked into one particular rate-making methodology.
Well, but the commission, that's interesting, but that's not what the commission said here.
Secondly, the burden, generally in rate making, once a method is found to be fair and reasonable under this court's precedent, it doesn't matter if there are other fair and reasonable methods.
No, that's not their complaint. Their complaint is that when the commission made its judgment in 672 that NEL was just and reasonable, that was an unexplained departure from the commission's normal method of rate setting. That's their argument.
Okay.
So what I'm looking for is where's the commission's response to that?
If we continue,
we've already taken care of this one.
Okay.
We've agreed now, at least I think, that offers no real specifics. That's really not responsive to that argument.
But then
the rest of the sentence, let's go on and talk about that.
Okay.
And fails to demonstrate
how a coincident peak demand allocation factors.
Right.
That the commission uses to allocate demand-related costs for rate-making purposes, for transmission rates, would be appropriate. And we have to look at the context here.
the commission is, for the first time, dealing with a statute that says end users shall fund something under the commission's jurisdiction. That's new. And the commission explains in the rulemaking that it creates different problems. Now we're worried about double counting. It's not a transmission rate. It's something completely different. The idea that load-serving entities should receive the allocation, as Mr. Pope points out, directly is contradictory to the statutory language itself. And the commission discusses that somewhat in the rulemaking where it made this decision. Then it says, could be easily developed on a continent-wide basis for NERC funding purposes. The fact is that, and then it cites regulations, which the petitioner didn't bother to try and distinguish.
Where are you now?
I'm at the end of that paragraph, paragraph 94, mm-hmm. and footnote 59. It says, how could we use this kind of rate making on a continent-wide basis for NERC funding? And it cites its regulation, which explains that traditionally, in a wholesale transmission rate, which this is not, mm-hmm. an individual company with a few customers figures out its customer classes, looks at historical data, figures out the demand.
Now, that's in page 21 of your brief. Why isn't that in the FERC order here?
Well, I think it's not in the FERC orders because that's what the regulation says. It's certainly not post hoc. I'm merely explaining what the regulation says. I do think that if the commission...
You're explaining now the regulation that's cited in footnote 59?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
18 CFR section 35.13H, is that?
That's it.
Okay.
The commission, you have to look at the...
What does that regulation say?
The regulation sets mm-hmm. out the various historical data and how you divide customer classes for a particular transmission provider.
Rates.
Okay, so let me see if I understand the administrative law principle that's working here, okay? We all agree that agencies can depart from prior practice by explaining their reason for departure, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so the argument here is that FERC departed, and you agree to do that, FERC needs to explain the basis for its departure, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you cite us to paragraph 94 here, where the commission is explaining what's wrong with Alcoa's proposal, right?
Right.
Where are they explaining in that sentence why the commission's change in policy is justified?
They're explaining that it's... Alcoa's attempt to use a demand energy rate is inappropriate for a nationwide rate.
That might be a perfectly legitimate reason for rejecting Alcoa's rate. But where is the explanation for FERC's change in position?
Well, no. Alcoa's rate, the precedent only goes to that kind of rate. I think that's the whole point. The precedent
is
has
there
no...
Is there anything in the certification order, not the rehearing, we're in the rehearing on paragraph 94, but in the certification order itself, is there anything that explains or deals with any departure from prior FERC methodology?
No.
Okay.
Nor is there in the rulemaking where the commission found that this particular rate was just and reasonable for the end user allocation, because even though the entire...
Is there in the certification order or the rehearing a reference back to that determination?
Yes.
Okay, now where is that? That may have the answer to what we've been asking you about.
It's in it's Joint Appendix 150.
Okay, J150, that would be paragraph...
Paragraphs 166 and 167, mm-hmm. the commission says, we find NERC's proposal to use a net allocation method fair and reasonable. We already found the rate as a matter of rate-making principles mm-hmm. in terms of our responsibility under the statute and this new provision of the statute that in order to have end-user allocation and avoid the problem of double counting, which is what most of the commenters in the rulemaking were concerned about.
Is the approach that Alcoa was arguing for the same as the traditional approach that FERC used here? So would a rejection of that approach be
No, Alcoa, it's an apples and oranges situation. Now, Alcoa is saying, I still want to go back to the rulemaking just one second. It's very interesting that in the rulemaking, the commission in the NOPR says, here's what NERC does. And this is a new statute, but this looks like it fits with the statute because of it deals with end users, and this makes sure the costs flow through the end users. In the rulemaking order, it says, we find this fair and reasonable. Parties, including Alcoa, comment all over the place about all different issues, but no one says that it violates precedent because everybody understands that it's a different kind of
rate. Is it arguably not a departure because you're looking for a new mechanism here?
I think that's one way to look at it. Yeah, it's not a departure. We're looking at a different kind of rate for a different set of circumstances. And I think that's what the commission is trying to say in the rehearing paragraph.
That's what paragraph 94 says?
I think it does. It says...
Well, paragraph 94 may not be enough by itself. It's not uncommon for an agency, FERC or any other, to do something that refers back to their prior rulemaking, which may be what they've done in the certification order. But what Judge Tatel's suggesting is that 94 by itself is only rejecting Alcoa's criticism.
Yes, but I think
FERC has to justify what it's doing.
Well, FERC justified what it did in the rulemaking. It said this is fair and reasonable. This is a rate that's fair and reasonable.
What I'm trying to find, and you may have found it for me, is the place in the certification order.
In the certification order.
Says we already did that in the rulemaking.
In paragraph 167 at JA 150. We accept NERC's proposal to allocate costs on the basis of net energy for load. We deny requests that the commission should require NERC to allocate costs on a basis other than net energy for load. In order number 672, we found that the funding apportionment method based on net energy for load is a fair and reasonable method for allocating costs that minimizes the possibility of double counting.
And I think that may be what we're looking for.
And then in the footnote, it explains what net energy for load is.
And is it your point that leading up to that proceeding, no one argued that that NEL was a departure? No one argued that?
No one argued the actual precedent issue, no. And Alcoa did comment that it thought it might be unfair to do it that way because of Alcoa's particular use of the grid.
Yeah.
But Alcoa didn't request rehearing on the rulemaking.
You didn't argue it that way in the brief here, though, did you? You didn't say that in your brief here that Alcoa's argument about a departure from prior practices wasn't properly raised. Did you? Maybe I missed it.
Well, we didn't say it that way, no.
Say it anyway?
Well, we laid out the history, and because we were saying that this whole matter was a collateral attack on the rulemaking, we concentrated on that. If we hadn't concentrated on that, we might have raised it the other way. Okay. So I think this is a rate design issue where the court gives the commission a lot of deference because of the highly technical nature. This is a new kind of rate. A rule was issued, a generic rule. Industry participated. The commission found this kind of rate was fair and reasonable for this new kind of cost allocation for this new situation where a national rate, if you will. And then when Alcoa raised its point, even though the commission thought, well, we already dealt with this before, the commission nonetheless addressed the merits, but only gave it a paragraph. I think if it had been in the rulemaking, it would have given it more if Alcoa had moved for rehearing originally. But it said, well, we don't understand how this would work. We've already said this is for end users. You're talking about a transmission rate, and it cites its regulations, and Alcoa has no response to that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Your time is long since up. We've
Thank
kept you,
you
up talking. So, how much time does he have? We'll raise him back to 3. I'm especially generous this morning.
Thank you, Your Honor.
The argument you make in Section 3 of your brief?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you make that before the commission?
We made a version of that argument, Your Honor, and I think if you go to our comments in front of the commission, and that would be JA 117 through 121, you will see a version of that argument about the demand and energy allocation method.
What do you mean by a version of it?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean by a version of it?
It's the same argument, Your Honor. I'm sorry. It's not the same words, but it is the same argument with the same principles. And I guess I also...
117 to what?
I'm sorry?
Joint Appendix 117
to... 117 to 121.
121?
Okay. Yes, Your Honor.
Now, that actually was in the certification proceeding, not in the rehearing petition, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry if I meant...
No, I'm...
I think we also talked about it in the rehearing petition, but that citation was to our original protest.
Your original comments, and your comments were dealt with in the certification order, although they talked in... They didn't really talk in the same terms you did, but they did...
Well,
address
actually,
Alcoa by name. In
they the, did, yes, Your Honor. They acknowledged the fact that we had made an argument to them, and the one paragraph...
They changed it to a reliability argument instead of a... But.
Well, it was one paragraph, and...
Two, I think.
And I would note that there was two sentences in the paragraph. The first sentence was simply identifying the argument. The second sentence is the only thing that arguably addressed any aspect of the merits itself. The other point that I would make is that I thought at the end of counsel's argument, we were talking about whether NEL as a departure from FERC precedent was covered by FERC in its rulemaking. And I don't believe that it was, but I don't have any citations at this point.
Yeah, we're sort of left with the question as to how specific they have to be on their departure where the circumstance under which they are conducting the rulemaking is not the same circumstance they've had before.
Well, but Your Honor, to go back to this, the difference is that 215 said for the first time we're going to create an organization whose job is to deal with bulk power system reliability. Prior to that time, there was no aspect of the government or of the industry that actually performed that function. But all other costs of providing electric service, transmission service, the investment in transmission facilities, the offices by which, you know, people worked in order to provide the service, all those other costs were actually being allocated to end users, and they were allocated on a cost causation basis. This was not a point that I was able to address in my opening argument, but FERC's policy has always been that you want to tie cost causation to the principle of who has to pay. And the cost causer pays was
we
a very...
We do, but we have repeatedly approved formulas where that has not been a one-for-one.
Yes, Your Honor, that is absolutely correct.
This has not been a simple thing, looking particularly on the gas side. We've had all sorts of different allocations of costs that may not have been anywhere near one-for-one.
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. But I would also say that this is a pretty broad canvas we're painting on here, mm-hmm. and that when we're talking about the fact that there are offices and the investments that were made to provide this reliability service, what's the distinction between that and the other investments that were made to provide electric service?
Could I get you to respond to counsel for FERC's point that this actually wasn't a departure, that this is something new? You have to justify a departure when you're applying a new type of rate to a familiar circumstance. Here you have a completely new circumstance, and he argues that it's not a departure.
Well, Your Honor, that's a good rationale up to a point, I would think, except for the fact that that's not quite how the Commission addressed it in the rulemaking. I don't think you'll find the Commission talking in those terms. I don't see the Commission in the rulemaking saying, well, this is so new, we have to try a new form of cost allocation method because it's new, and this is why our old method doesn't work. I don't think they ever addressed it in those terms.
Well, not in those exact words, but their reference to continental expansion of ERO, isn't that exactly the point? You've got a new entity here that's supposed to do something new on a continent-wide basis, new problem.
But
that's the specific reason
in
paragraph 94 that they cited for why they were going with NEL and rejecting your proposal.
Right, but they also say, I believe, elsewhere in the rule, and I believe this is in the certification proceeding, that they're not going to collect it continent-wide. What they're doing is they're having these regional entities all collect from the various regions. And I submit to you that's exactly the same as transmission rates, which are regional in nature. And so to that extent, it's exactly the same sort of thing. If I may sum up, this appeal is not an attack upon Order Number 672. The decisions below by the Commission were not a product of reasoned decision-making, nor did they explain their departure from FERC's longstanding policy regarding cost allocation.
Thank you, Counsel. The case is submitted. I'm assuming that some substantial portion of the substantial audience is here because of this case. So
I would hope so.
We will. I don't know that we need a recess, but we'll pause a moment to let those who wish to clear the courtroom, clear the courtroom.